Welcome to Out There.
Hi. Oh. I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder.
Stick them up.
Listen to Out There on Wednesdays, 4 to 5 p.m. here on Valley Free Radio for interviews and snippets of life from the paths and streets of Northampton. You can hear past editions of Out There archived at weatherbeard.com/out there.
And you're listening to Out There on, what is today? I'm looking at the calendar. Today is Wednesday, July 10th. July 10th. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Today's show is, I have an interview with Jackie Brown from Northampton. She's the bike mechanic with All Out Adventures. Maybe I have a few stories, too. It was a little bit rough there on the intro. I was trying to get my Fats Domino Rockin' Bicycle musical intro, but I was trying to get it on the computer somewhere because my thumb drive is still in police custody. And in fact, if anyone wants to take a bike ride with me to Belchertown on Friday to Eastern Hampshire District Court, I got a hearing Friday afternoon, and I'll be leaving Florence or Northampton area on the bike path around noon. So let me know if you want to take a bike ride out there, if you want any more information about the situation. Hopefully I'll have my thumb drive and other personal items back in my possession, within the next couple of weeks. If you want to contact me, you can email me at ruthie@pedalpeople.coop. That's ruthie@pedalpeople.coop. Now, I'll just start in with the interview with Jackie Brown. This interview was from, what's today, Wednesday? It's from Monday, just a couple days ago.
My name is Jackie Brown.
And you live in Northampton. So we met, Jackie and I met, I don't know if we met before, but we met like last week. I was doing that Pedal People route and I got a flat tire on the trailer. And, well, I normally have a patch kit and pump with me, but my patch kit and pump are in police custody. So I didn't have a pump. I did have an extra patch kit. Anyway, so I needed to fix my flat tire and I didn't have a pump. And I'm like, it's Cherry Street. I'm sure there's lots of people around here. Someone's going to have a pump on their front porch or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to ride back to the bike lab because I was already kind of late on my route. And so then I saw this woman getting out of her, I don't know, walking through a parking lot, getting out of her car or something, a couple houses down. I was like, hey, excuse me, do you have a pump? Mm-hmm. And it was Jackie. And Jackie said, why, yes, come on over.
And I was like, it's Ruthie. I wanted to talk to Ruthie for a long time. Yes, that was my reaction.
You invited me in to use your pump. Gave me an apple and peanut butter and I can't remember what else. Everything I needed. And then you told me that you do bike mechanic stuff for All Out Adventures and you went to bike mechanic school. I found that very interesting. Wait, why did you want to talk to me?
I first met you. The first time I remember meeting you was on a bike, what's that called? Like, parade? It was like, do you remember what that was? Mm. It was in Northampton. And you were on it. Pedal People was there. All Out Adventures was there.
Was it the one to East Hampton?
Yeah. There was music at the end.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I forget what it's called. But that's where I first, was like, oh, Ruthie exists. And you fixed a chain that broke.
Yes, that's it, yeah.
But you just had, really kind, fun energy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and are in bike world. And so I wanted to meet you, talk to you.
Cool. And then when we met, last week again, it turns out we have these Chicago connections to mutual friends connected in the bike world there. Mm-hmm. Urban Bikes in Chicago. Shout out to Urban Bikes.
And yes. Uptown Bikes.
Uptown Bikes.
All good.
And So, how did you get involved in biking and then, I guess, bike mechanic stuff?
Yeah. My first involvement in biking and working in biking, I grew up riding a little bit. was doing mountain biking in Virginia. This random job, this outdoor backpacking job that I had. And they were like, one or two of the days of the week, y'all are going to be mountain biking. And you have to figure out. They did a little bit of training, but I was leading mountain biking and knew had to do basic repair. So I learned that quick on the job. And then that was during the summer. And then I came back to UMass and checked out the UMass bike coop. And that seemed like a cool place to just kind of learn, and I really enjoyed doing the hands-on stuff, just getting my hands dirty and fixing, and things always seemed really chill in the bike coop, and I wanted to see what was up. So I worked there for a year, and that was something. It was great. I learned a lot, and also felt like at the end of the year, I still didn't know a ton. I would have like shifts here and there, kind of felt hard to get much training, and was working with really incredible humans, and I really enjoyed them. We had a lot of fun and had these awesome staff meetings and whatnot, but felt like very much some gender dynamics there and like hardness of learning mechanics and feeling like, yeah, like wheels would get taken out of my hands if I was taking too long. And that kind of shit. And I was like, oh, I don't even know if I'm good at mechanics. It was an awesome spot to work for a year. I get to pop in, and it was like my first time where I was doing heavy mechanic work, or like would be working on mechanics for a couple hours at a time. And really fun people, and like a spot that people would pop in all the time, and I loved that. And I also found it a hard place to learn mechanics. It felt like a lot of the people already knew stuff, or if you didn't know, you stayed not knowing. And as a woman working there, I definitely felt like it was harder to ask questions, and that often when I was working on something, that would get overridden, or if I was taking too long, I was looked at as a bad mechanic. And not much like time invested in me learning. And so I remember I left that job when I graduated, and I was kind of had the feelings of like, I don't even know if I'm good at mechanics. Like, this might just be something I'm not, can't do. Which didn't feel quite true, knowing how I've done handiwork and stuff in the past, but I thought maybe I just don't catch on to this quickly. And I kind of let that be. I was like, all right, that was I had mixed experiences working there. And then I started working at All Out Adventures. And a part of All Out Adventures, there's a lot to it. I would love to share more about it. Yeah. But a part of it is a recumbent trike shop, which are like the three-wheel bikes. When you're leaning back in them, they're low to the ground, and they're pretty adaptive for a bunch of different people and different abilities. And so I was running some cycling programs and would learn basic stuff on how to adjust the trikes for people and do basic fixes. And just this past summer, going into my third year working for them, they said it would be great if I wanted to become more of the mechanic role at All Out Adventures, which I was super into and pumped about. And also felt like, yeah, I know some stuff, but I need some more serious training to be able to do this. And so, and they were super supportive in that. They agreed. And they're like, yeah, let's find you some training. And so going into this winter, I knew, okay, I have to find some people to learn from this winter in some kind of way. And we were searching around the area, and nothing was quite clicking right away. And then our executive director had a friend who told her about the United Bike Institute in Portland, Oregon, and they have two-week intensive bike school classes, which I had known about for years, but it's a couple $1,000 to do, and I'd heard great things, but I didn't have the means to be dropping a couple $1,000 on this. But they have a scholarship for women, trans, femme folks to be able to come, and an application process. And so I did that, and I put a lot, I was really hopeful and excited about it and felt like it would be a really great opportunity. And then I got that, and I got to go, which was great. Yeah.
So it was 2 weeks. What was the schedule? Were your days like there?
Yeah. There's 16 of us, ranging ages like 21 to 60-ish, I would say. Mm-hmm. All women, trans femme folks, and we stayed in this hostel, and we'd have class from like 8 a.m. to 5 or something like that, and then sometimes after shop hours. And they had a whole curriculum. We had this huge binder, mm-hmm. and we'd have lecture, and then you get to the go to the stands and work, and then you go back to lecture, go back to the stands, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and just like hands-on and book work all day. And we had different days based on different things. So mm-hmm. one day we worked on building a wheel, and that's all we did was building wheels. Other days we did just one kind of brakes, and we kind of went through all the different components of a bike and did that.
Had you ever been in that kind of gendered learning space before?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Nothing like it.
How did it compare to other learning spaces?
Oh, it was so beautiful. Mm. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. There was, like, no question that was a bad question. Mm-hmm. People were really humble. There was some mechanics who had been mechanics for, like, 8 years. Others who were pretty new. And yet there felt like everyone had something to contribute. We were all learning from each other. And it really surprised me because that's not something I'd ever felt around bikes before. Mm-hmm. And I just saw, like, everyone really, really invested and really churning their wheels to be able to make sure they got it, mm-hmm. and feeling comfortable enough to ask mm-hmm. for that.
Sounds really cool. I want to go.
Yeah, you should. I would really recommend it and want more people to know that it exists.
Yeah. Have you stayed in touch with any of the people that you met?
Yeah, I have. I made some really great connections there, which is really nice. And there are people from all over the U.S. And so I've stayed in touch. There's some people that we've talked about, like, dreamy bike projects together, which mm-hmm. has been fun.
Dreamy bike projects, like what?
Like, I had a conversation with a friend, Leah, a month or two ago of, like, what could a bike shop be beyond a bike shop? Like, what kind of community space could that be where people come together and feel like we can learn together and create together and just gathering different people with different skills, like Skillshare kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's another person, Nellie, that I've talked to about doing like a more mobile bike truck kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're all like dreams and talking, but just really fun to be connected to those people.
Is that Leah from Uptown Bikes?
Leah from Uptown Bikes. Hey, Leah. Yeah. Yeah.
So can you tell us about your work with All Out Adventures? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like explain for listeners a little bit what All Out Adventures is.
Yeah. So All Out Adventures is a nonprofit based here in Northampton. And we run outdoor recreation programs for people with disabilities, seniors, and veterans. Last year, we ran about 180 programs throughout the year. And we do activities like biking, kayaking, canoeing, recently stand-up paddleboarding, which is sweet. Mm-hmm. And then in the winter, we're doing more like snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, sits, skating, sled skating. And so we run those programs really low cost or free for people. And they come with family and loved ones. And it's a lot of fun. It's just about connecting people to outdoors and movement and feeling the fun together.
Because I imagine some people haven't really had the opportunity to be outside using their bodies a lot, like on their own power or a close mm-hmm. friend or caretaker's power.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it varies for each person what their experience has been. But the organization started out of when the state parks were becoming more accessible. There was a person, Tom McCarthy, who and Philippe Glaske, who are both really connected to the organization still, who said, well, that's great that we have a ramp or an accessible bathroom now, but there are people who still need help, or I still need help getting my kayak off of the car and getting into it. Mm-hmm. Like, that additional support is often needed for people to be able to access mm-hmm. the outdoors. So I'm seeing that constantly at our programs, people who come and are like, I wouldn't be able to do this without you. And that is just their truth, that extra support.
So if you, Ariel, if you want to say anything.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So do you do more things besides the bike repair or trike repair or mechanical stuff with All Out Adventures?
Yeah, so I am a program leader for them too. So I'll go and I'm a kayak instructor and a paddleboard instructor and lead some of those programs and lead cycling. So some days I'm doing that. Some days I'm doing the mechanic work. Some days I'm doing more focus on sales of our recumbent trikes. And we're small. We're really small. And so we're all kind of our hands in multiple things. So then I'm also doing, sometimes we'll help out with fundraisers or with our database or returning phone calls. And so I have like office hours too.
Yeah. You have a fundraiser coming up in September, right?
We do. Thanks, Ruthie. Yeah, we have the Kayakathon. It's an annual event, and it's our largest fundraiser. And people join us to kayak along the Connecticut River.
Or paddleboard this year, right?
Or paddleboard, yeah. Yes. You wanna?
I know how to swim.
That could be something. And people can go 12 or 5 miles. And
upstream or downstream?
Downstream. It's okay. A smooth ride.
I can do that.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. We have a big gathering party at the end. And we ask that people fundraise to be a part of it. So there's a registration process. People can register. You can either register as an individual or as a team. And then we help people figure out how to do their fundraising. And it's, I've gotten to do it the last 2 years, and it's been so fun. It's an incredible feeling on the water. People of all varied abilities and backgrounds there just coming together to enjoy and celebrate together.
So do you have a favorite thing that you like to do with All Out Adventures?
Good question. I love when there's a new family or group of people who come to our program, and having that conversation about what their needs are and figuring out something that works and that allows them to either go biking or kayaking, etc. And that conversation of knowing that this person knows what they need and I can also assist in figuring out a solution together. And that is often accompanied by these big feelings of excitement or gratitude or enjoyment, disbelief that they're getting to do that. And to me, that connection and that feeling is really special.
Yeah. Can you think of any people or families in particular where you've at least witnessed this, any stories or memories?
There's so many. There's this person that I'm thinking about that comes to our veteran programs. And he tells his story much better than I. But from what I understand about it, he had an injury and no longer had use of his legs and used a wheelchair. And there was one point where he woke up and had a little bit more use of his legs. And he somehow got connected to our programs and comes through the PBTA, gets off, has this large power wheelchair. He's this big dude. And said, I want to ride. I want a bike. And we're like, okay, we'll make that happen. And so we have this pretty intricate transfer to do with him. We take the handlebar off and use a slide board to get him onto the bike. And then strap his legs in and have a calf support situation. So there's all these different adaptations. But we've got it pretty down by now. And just figuring out that with him. And then seeing him slowly start to move his legs and the joy that that brought him was incredible. And so he's been coming for a year or two now. And he comes to all our veterans programs at Look Park. And the last one that I was at, he brought his daughter and his granddaughter, and they went around the park with him, and his daughter was in tears watching her dad do this. And his granddaughter was just running around, like, full of energy, running around him. And to just see them share that was incredible. I mean, it's something that I hope every family gets to feel together, is that enjoyment of just being outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one story. There's many.
Yeah.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I've been playing an interview with Jackie Brown, who's a mechanic at All Out Adventures. All Out Adventures is based in Northampton. They promote health, community, and independence for people with disabilities and their families and friends through outdoor recreation. And, gosh, well, I'm going to play a song. This is Buffy St. Marie with The War Racket.
Oh, you're slick, you investors in hate, you Saddams and you Bushes. You've been Laddens and snakes, you billionaire bullies. You're a globalized curse. You put war on the masses and then you clean out the purse. And that's how it's done. War after war. You old feudal parasites, you just sacrifice the poor. You got the cutting edge weapons, but your scam's still the same as it's been since the Romans. Yo, it's the Patriot game. Yo, that's the war racket. It's the war racket. It's the war racket. It's the war racket. You twisters of language. You creeps of disguise. Yeah, disinformation. It's like worms in your eyes. You privileged bankers, you gambler thieves, you profit on war, you think it's just less money in peace. So that's how it's done. Time after time, country after country, and crime after crime. You pretend it's religion, like there's no one to blame for the dead and impoverished in your little patriot game. Honey, that's the war racket. That's the war racket. That's the war racket. That's the war racket. You got the world's greatest power, and you team up with thugs, make a fortune on weapons, destruction and drugs. But your flags and boots and uniforms, they start to all smell the same when all sides are killing in the Patriot game. That's how it's done. And you've got our sons in the crosshairs of horror at the end of your guns. And your national anthems, they start to all smell like shame when all sides are dying in the Patriot game. It's just a war racket. That's just a war racket. It's just a war racket. It's just a war racket. And war is never, ever holy. It's just a greedy man's dream. And you two-faced crusaders, both sides are obscene. War is not made by God. War is just made by men who misdirect our attention while you thieves do your thing. And that's how it's done. About every 30 years, the rich fill their coffers, the poor fill with tears, the young fill the coffins, the old hang a wreath. The politicians get photographed with their names underneath. It's the war racket. It's the war racket. It's the war racket. That's the war racket. It's the war racket. That's the war racket. racket. That's the warm racket.
Thank you, Buffy St. Marie, for that message. That reminds me, when I was doing downtown trash today, I noticed the flag, the giant flag, the ginormous, gigantic flag in downtown Northampton. So the courthouse is, the old courthouse is under construction, or there's renovations. Yes, under renovation. And so there's scaffolding, like as tall as the courthouse, like three stories scaffolding going up it on the whole side in the front. And there's a flag that's like three stories tall all along the scaffolding that faces King Street. I think maybe they put it up, or I think maybe it was put up in time for the naturalization ceremony on July 4th. But I was curious to find out like who put it up and who paid for it, and the timing, when, how long it's going to be up. It seems a bit excessive to me. I asked one of the construction workers today. I was like, "Oh, do you know anything about that flag?" And he said, "No, today's my first day on the job." But he said, "That's the biggest flag I've ever seen." and I've been seeing the ads for the Marines on the side of the PVA, too. So stay strong, folk people. Let's keep our eye on the prize of peaceful interactions and faith in other human beings. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. We're going to go back to the interview with Jackie Brown of All Out Adventures. This interview is from Tuesday. Jackie's a mechanic and runs programs at All Out Adventures based in Northampton.
I'm just thinking about how, like, I've been so able-bodied all of my life, but mm-hmm. knowing that in the blink of an eye, anything can happen to me. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about how, like, people have different abilities at different times in their life, and it's not like mm-hmm. someone, I don't know, I'm just trying to, like, you know, think about stereotypes that we have about people mm-hmm. With different abilities, and just trying to keep in mind, like, the whole person of who someone is, has been, and will be, or could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate that sentiment. Yeah, and that we have people who come to our programs with such a range of different needs, and also recognizing that I myself have needs, mm-hmm. yet often mine are met. And yeah. It's more mm-hmm. of an able-bodied person. So mm-hmm. this world is more set up for me to exist in it and mm-hmm. to be able to move around freely and access it than it is for mm-hmm. someone who can be next to me at our programs. But having that mindset around it and being at our programs has really shed some light on that. It's like, oh, we all have abilities. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of, How does it work living in this world with what we got going on?
Oh, can you talk about where the programs take place and how people can get involved or find you?
Yeah, absolutely. We run programs all over the state of Massachusetts. And so we're based in Northampton, and we have some stuff happening around here in the Valley. And then we also have things in Boston, Worcester, the South Shore. And people can find information about us at alloutadventures.org. We have a calendar there. We also have a Facebook page. And then people can register for our programs. So that's just a matter of calling us or doing it online. And they're all, like, free to $8 max to come and join. And, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. And then our Recumbent Trike Shop is in Northampton, and so all of the profits from our trike shop go towards our programs. Mm-hmm. And I'm there on Tuesdays and Saturdays, but mm-hmm. you can also set up an appointment. And the trike sales it's been really great to see people. It gets a whole different crew of people who are thinking, oh, I want to be able to do this on my own time. I, for some situation, need something different to be able to ride, and they find trikes, and it's worked out for a lot of people, which has been great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the Recumbent Trikes, or the main office is on State Street, right by the corner of State and Finn.
Yeah.
Can people drop in, like, anytime, like, regular business hours?
Yeah, so since we're so small, we just have some hours. Uh-huh. I'm there Tuesdays 12 to 6, and Saturday 10 to 4. And then the other stuff is by appointment.
Okay, so those are the only, when you're there, the only regular open hours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then, so you do bike stuff or wheeled stuff at Look Park. Do you also do stuff on the rail trail in Headley?
We do.
On the Fridays?
Yeah, have you seen it
before? Yeah, I've seen that.
Nice. Yeah, we set up a whole, we bring all of our bikes. We have this huge fleet of a range of bikes. We have got recumbent trikes. We also have a bike that's like a wheelchair in the front and someone rides on the back. We have tandems. We have hand cycles where you're pedaling with your hands. And so we pretty much have a bike for everyone. We'll figure it out. And that's every Fridays. Every Friday, 10 to 3. Uh-huh. And that's something that people register for. So they call us. And you get to come and use the bikes for an hour. Uh-huh. And it's beautiful. It's right on the rail trail right there.
And that's I have a friend who can't ride a bike on her own because of brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ride tandem. She's like, yeah, it would be great to go on a tandem ride. Because she used to love to ride a bike.
Nice.
So we could just show up. I don't know how we would get there, but we could take the bus, right?
Yeah.
We could just show up on a Friday between, what time again?
10 to 3. Yeah.
We could just show up in Hadley on the rail trail, Depot Street. Where do you?
Railroad Street.
Railroad Street.
8 Railroad Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we could just show up and be like, hey, is there a tandem? Or would we call ahead to reserve something?
Calling ahead is awesome for us. Uh-huh. That way we know that we have the bike ready for you. It'll be ready when you get there, and that way we're not double booking.
Yeah.
And
how many people can you fit on a tandem?
Just got two. And yeah, and then you and your friend could come, and you could come every week if you wanted, or you could just come once. You could try it out and see how it is. That would be great. Definitely. And we have programs there particularly for people with brain injuries as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that would be neat to go because we could ride a tandem together, but then she could also see some other options that I don't have in my garage.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you have any tandem kind of setups here?
I have a couple friends with tandems that I can borrow readily.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got bike trailers that will often give people rides in bike trailers, but you know, if people are physically able to power themselves, then that's usually better. Yeah. So how is it funded?
Yeah, it's a mix of funding. So we have a contract with the state, which are the universal access programs. And so those are our programs that are in the state parks. Then we have a grant with the Veterans Association. And then we're doing fundraising and trike sales for our other funding. And our reality right now, this year in particular, is that we are running more programs than we ever have. And we are serving more people than we ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And our funding has stayed the same. So we're actually in a pretty hard financial situation right now. Mm-hmm. And we've been reaching out to our community of people to let them know that. And kind of a call for help, for support. Because we don't have the funding that we need to be able to keep sustaining what we're doing. And we don't want to drop off any of our programs. That's the most important thing.
Do you have a sense of, like, say, with the Friday Hadley Rail Trail program, I don't know if there's any way to say what, like, the true cost might be of someone participating in that?
Yeah. The true cost would, I forget the exact number. We used to say $45 per person, but I remember recently that's gone up when we recalculated. So I think it's more around $60 now. But per person, it's somewhere between $45 and $60 per program for us to run it, for our staff, our equipment, etc. And people are paying $5. So we're covering a lot of that. Yeah, because we want to make sure that anybody who wants to come can come and that money's not a barrier to making that happen. Yeah.
And if someone is interested in a recumbent trike, what's the price range on those typically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The recumbent trikes start at about $1,000, and they can go up to $3,000 or $4,000. Mm-hmm. And so that varies in people's ability, but it's definitely an investment and something that I've seen last years and years for people.
Yeah, and as compared to some of the cheaper trikes that people might buy, these trikes have gears that mm-hmm. like make it really feasible to use.
Yeah, anywhere. We carry 3 different manufacturers, so we have a varied, like, based on what people need. If they just need a simple ride, we got that for you. If you want, like, more high-end 30 gear kind of situation, 30 uh-huh. speed, we have that. And yeah, they're good quality and all the same components as a bike.
In terms of compatibility yeah. and fixing mm-hmm. and maintenance.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Have you ever ridden one?
I've test ridden them at yeah. events and things. Cool.
What did you think?
It's good. It's so good to know that option is there. Should I ever mm-hmm. need it? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy with the agility of my mm-hmm. current bike.
Cool.
I met a guy once in Florence. He told me he was 95 years old. He was riding a recumbent trike mm-hmm. up South Main Street. But I think he was actually pulled over and stopped, and we got to talking, and he was like, "Yeah, I love this trike. You know, I pedal when I want to pedal. When I get tired, I stop and I rest. And I just mm-hmm. sit here. And then when I want to go again, I pedal some more."
Exactly. You don't have to put your feet down or anything. Yeah. You're still balanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He also had his brakes set up so that instead of having to squeeze the levers, which was hard for his, like, grasping strength, he just pushed with his palms.
Nice. Yep. Awesome. Yeah. We can also set it all up so, like, brakes and shifting are all on one side. Mm. So that's particularly great for people who've had strokes, uh-huh. is, so your right side is stronger, we can set that all up. Uh-huh.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. You've been listening to an interview conversation with Jackie Brown, who is a mechanic at All Out Adventures, based here in Northampton, and also leads programs for All Out Adventures. Which All Out Adventures promotes health, community, and independence for people with disabilities and their family and friends during outdoor recreation, like bikes, trikes, kayaks, and things like that. I have some more of that interview, but I'm going to make a few announcements. Let's see. Today is Wednesday, July 10th, and coming up Friday, July 12th, in Northampton. Northampton Arts Council presents their Summer Park Series, Live Music and Dancing in Pulaski Park. And it says July 12th at 4 p.m., Downtown Sounds Workers Co-op, their new Workers Co-op, presents, that says, with DJ Just Joan. I'm not sure what's presented. Maybe, oh, well, on July 13th, there's Salsa in the Park in Pulaski Park at 6:30 p.m. That's on Saturday. That's this Saturday. Do I sound scattered? Well, here's something else coming up on Friday. This Friday, July 12th at 5:30 at the Franklin County House of Corrections is an action sponsored, I believe, by the Pioneer Valley Workers Center. To call on the U.S. to close the detention camps. In concert with the Lights Out for Liberty national call to action, we will speak out against separation, deportation, incarceration, and oppression that keeps communities down and tears families apart. That's at the Greenfield, Franklin County Jail in Greenfield. That's 160 Elm Street. They have an ICE detention center there. There'll be singing and speeches and signs and stuff like that, and you can learn about how to get involved with immigrant rights battles right here in Massachusetts. Also, they're looking for co-sponsors. You can go to the Pioneer Valley Workers Center Facebook page for more information or to connect with them. Also coming up this Saturday and every Saturday, the Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can come and learn to fix your bike or just borrow tools, scavenge parts, hang out with me and Dwayne and Paige and other people who come. Thanks to Paige for hosting this event for the last 15 years or so. And what else? Oh, also coming up this Saturday, July 13th, is the Wendell Reggae Fest 2019 from 2 p.m. to 12 a.m. at Wendell. How big is Wendell? If you go to Wendell, you can probably find it wherever it is. I'm looking at the flyer trying to figure out exactly where it is. It says Deja Brew, 57 Locks Village Road in Wendell. Vendors, Caribbean food, full bar, and bonfire. And what else do I have? Oh, I got to mention again that my housemate Alex Sterrett is running for 5th Ward City Councilor. He's great. I'm going to have him on the show soon, sometime in the near future. And, oh, another exciting thing that happened this week in my life. I had amazing visitors from Haiti who came to see how Pedal People works, how the compost recycling trash pickup by bicycle works, because the man, Daniel Tilius, wants to start a compost by bike collection business with the youth empowerment organization he's part of in Port-au-Prince. And I interviewed him, but I haven't edited those clips yet. So hopefully next week I'll play a bunch of that interview. What else? Also, if anyone wants a feather tick, you know, like a, not like the comforter thing, but the thing you put under you on the mattress. When I went to do downtown trash this morning, I went to get the trailer out of the downtown trash cubby. Someone had thrown a, or hung a big feather tick over the trailer. It looked really expensive and really nice. I'm sure it needs a little cleaning. That's probably, you know, best practices. But let me know if you want it. So let me play another Buffy St. Marie, and then I'll play some more of the interview with Jackie Brown. Thanks for listening today, and stay tuned for Democracy Now!, which comes up at 5 o'clock.
This is the...
Oop, nope, that's not... That's the ad. We'll get to Buffy St. Marie in just a minute. Wow, I just like Buffy St. Marie so much. Also, I want to mention that the Florence Farmers Market is going on today and every Wednesday this season until 6 p.m. I think it's 2 to 6 p.m. every Wednesday. And it's by the Lilly Library or by the Florence Civic Center. All right, here's the rest of the interview with Jackie Brown, who's a mechanic at All Out Adventures and program leader at All Out Adventures here in Northampton.
What are some of the other ways that the wheeled vehicles are adapted to meet different needs?
Mm-hmm. There's quite a range, but there's something that we could put on to make their pedal rotation smaller, so that's good for people with knee or hip injuries, so they're not doing as large of a rotation. Mm-hmm. And so it's not as much bending.
Like shorter crank arms, kind of, or something like that?
Yeah, we can. Or? Yeah, it's called a crank arm shortener.
Yeah.
So that makes it. Yeah. Or we could put shorter crank arms on there.
Oh, or little kids could ride.
Uh-huh.
You can make a bike or something more adapted to
kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had kids get the trikes. There's also something that's called calf support. So if people splay their legs in or out, then that can keep their legs more in line. There's people who we set up headrests or certain kind of cushioning for their back. People who've had some kind of spinal injury and need a certain configuration for their back. And there's headrests. You could do, as I said, all the braking or shifting on one side. Mm-hmm. Make that easier or harder for people.
There's hand crank cycles.
Mm-hmm. There's hand cycles. We don't currently sell those, but we would like to start to sell those. We have them at our programs for people to use, and there's ones that are low to the ground or higher up. We recently converted a single recumbent trike to a tandem because there's somebody who no longer could ride theirs on their own, so we added it on so they could have another driver.
That's what I want for my mom. I want a recumbent trike.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And ride with her.
She's got dementia and balance problems. Mm-hmm. Would love to be outside physical riding a bike in some way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That would be great for her. Yeah. Next time she comes up, you all should come to a program.
I don't think she's able to travel anymore.
No. I wonder. Yeah. And I know for myself, I love to ride my bike, but I have this shoulder injury that I've had for 7 years now, and I can't ride more than a mile or two without being in pain. Mm-hmm. And I've tried everything on my two-wheel bike to get it to work. Mm-hmm. And then I was working for All Out Adventures and started riding these recumbent trikes, and I was like, oh, this is a pain-free ride. Like, I can bike for miles. And so for me, it's been amazing. Just being so upright and not doing that leaning over situation has taken all the pain out of riding for me. So I'm personally, once I started riding recumbent trikes, I fell in love with them. I was like, ooh, I found something good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious what your experience in bike world has been in regards to gender, etc. That was something that stuck out when we were first talking. And
Well, I just know there's not many... there's way more guys that are bike mechanics than women. And so I've done the bike lab for about 15 years, and... I guess I take it for granted, maybe, that I don't know, it's just kind of what I do, but somewhere in the back of my mind, or sometimes more in the front of my mind, I just really appreciate that I happen to be a woman doing this thing in terms of trying to create a safe space for learning, a place that feels safe. So it's always, I'm always super grateful to see other women doing like mechanics, bike mechanic kind of stuff. I feel like a lot of people, regardless of gender, I've seen a lot of people come to the bike lab who just haven't had any opportunity for learning these kinds of things, and they think that they're incapable, and they're so sharp, they're so smart. I'm just like, no, you pick up so quick. I don't. So
I hear that.
Yeah.
I've appreciated that about the bike lab. Mm-hmm. Just because, yeah, I feel like the pace is very, like, you can figure it out and you have the space. And just, yeah, and I have been in other situations where it's like, people are just like, why don't you know that already? Mm-hmm. And, or yeah, there's a lot of shame about that, of like, why don't you already know that? But yeah, growing up as a female body person, you know, you're not like given those opportunities for the most part.
Yeah, I appreciated what you said about how if it seemed like maybe you was taking too long to learn something, and so then the wheel would be taken out of your hands, and then it made you think, maybe I'm not good at this. It's like, oh, it makes me want to pull my hair out.
And I think there's so many, from what I've seen in different bike shops and bike worlds, it feels like there are a lot of barriers to people entering, of like not seeing people that look like them, or being able to have ways to share skills. And so I really appreciate the fact that Bike Lab is a place that that can be something that people can come and learn together. I would love to like be there and feel that, see what's up. And I felt that at bike school, but that was the first time I had felt that. And recognizing that even that there's a lot of work to be done to make biking, which is just a great way of transportation and amazing tool, to be able to be accessed by more people.
Also, my ears perked up when you said you did bike mechanic stuff when we were talking last week, because when I go out of town and I'm not able to cover Bike Lab, I'm always keeping an eye out for women or women identified, I'm not sure, because or mostly women kind of type people who to cover for me.
Cool.
And it's hard to find them.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, I wonder if this person might have any availability on a Saturday, at least for a part of Bike Lab.
Awesome. I would love to be a part of it. I'm at shop on Saturdays, but we can talk about that aside. But interesting that it feels hard to find.
Yeah. I know there's got to be a lot of people in Northampton, in the valley.
Yeah. We'll keep searching.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah.
If you're one of them.
Out
there. Yeah.
I like that idea. Or I like want more spaces. I'm like, oh, I want to be that. I want to learn more. You know, or just like have more spaces. Where
well, yeah,
like,
didn't you cover Bike Lab for me when I was gone? When you first got here? Yeah.
I don't know if I did. Or maybe I did. Like, I went. I covered it. But, yeah, I've got, yeah. I've kind of gone. But I still feel like I have, like, so much. I'm, like, not at all at the level. Or, like, I have so much to learn.
But just the fact, like, for me, when you covered it then, just the fact that you were there kind of sort of creating the atmosphere was important, whether or not you had a lot of bike mechanic skills.
Yeah, Paige was impressed that I got out a book because I couldn't pick something. She said, no one ever gets out a book. I was like, that's how you gotta learn something.
That's why this book's there.
That's why I started with Chainbreaker. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's like simple, radical bike fixing book. Yeah. It's just like awesome pictures and simple.
Hi, I'm Ariel.
All right.
All right, you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, the very last part of that clip. Hi, I'm Ariel. That was Ariel introducing herself. I asked her to, because she was also part of the end part of that interview and was actually there for the whole thing. So that was a conversation with Jackie Brown from All Out Adventures, based here in Northampton. All Out Adventures provides outdoor recreational opportunities for people with disabilities and their families. Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock here on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring, and I'm going to play some Tracy Chapman. Thanks for listening today, and I'll be back next Wednesday.
Don't you know you're talking about a revolution that sounds Don't you know you're talking about a revolution that sounds While they're standing in the welfare lines Crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation Wasting time in the unemployment lines Sitting around waiting for a promotion Don't you know they're talking about a revolution It sounds like a whisper Poor people gonna rise up and get their share Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around. Waiting for a promotion Don't you know You're talking about a revolution It sounds like a whisper And finally the tables are starting to turn You're talking about a revolution Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn You're talking about a revolution Oh, no Talking about a revolution Oh, no Talking about a revolution, oh, no.